Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 580 of the Drunk Dashers podcast. I'm as always, I'm Tyler, and joining me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. What's up, buddy?
Well, first and foremost, I'm glad to be recording the podcast tonight. Oh, man, it's been such a tiring week at work that I feel like I want to get my mind off of things. So this is definitely a good place to do so. But other than that, though, I did finish up watching AEW Collision tonight. Nice. Because I've had internet trouble during this past day, but luckily internet stuff went back on like literally an hour before we had to record. But I will say this, man, I mean, the matchup between MJF and Kenny Omega was
don't tell
amazing.
Me don't
it
tell
was
me.
Amazing, but I'm not gonna say anything
hour.
Else.
I don't want to know anything else. I've only watched the first hour. So I'm gonna watch that probably in the morning. So you told me that Sheeta dressed up like Ada Wong. I had dropped everything,
yeah.
And I'm like, I gotta watch Collision now. So I watched the first hour.
Dude, and she looks good as Ada Wong.
No comment. Yeah.
But other than that, man, I mean, I'm getting excited. It's gonna be Extra Life soon.
Goddamn right. Goddamn right.
But how have you been doing, Tyler?
I'm doing all right, man. You know, clinging and banging as always. Been a long week. Weeks feel like a month. You know, it's getting colder out now. It's like chance of snow, I think, tomorrow. Yeah, not great. Denver's supposed to get like a foot of snow today or this weekend. Yeah. So Kansas City, the Chiefs and Broncos game is supposed to be a whiteout. So that's gonna be interesting. But yeah, no, I'm doing all right. You know, I've been I'm talking about if you've been watching the show or podcast, wherever, for the last couple of weeks, I've been able to drink because of I had this infection on my neck. Went to the ER on Wednesday, got it taken out. You know, I'm not 100% yet, but it's finally got it taken out. It was, long story short, was misdiagnosed a couple weeks ago. Been taking pills that weren't actually helping me. Went to the ER and that they're able to, after a very long and painful day, able to get it out, and I'm not 100% yet, but getting there. I feel a lot better than I did. I've felt for a few weeks now, so that's nice. And I'm able to have a beer again. Gables, enjoy some Oktoberfest here since I've been able to drink the last 3 weeks now.
Missed there you go.
Most of October, so I have to find our six pack or something of these before the season's over. But other than that, you know, I'm doing okay. But Gables, you mentioned it. We are just a week away, Gables. A week from now, Gables, you and I will be participating in Extra Life. And people maybe don't know or don't remember, Extra Life is a really cool thing that we do every year where we get together and tens of thousands of other gamers all around the world get together and play games for 24 straight hours. That's right, 24 straight hours. And we raise money for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. One of these days, I'm going to be able to say that and not screw it up. but you get to pick any hospital that you want in the United States or Canada. And people donate, your friends, family, whoever, donate to you to help you raise the money. And, you know, if you hit certain thresholds, you know, you hit like $200, you get a T-shirt every year. So here's my 10th anniversary one. Gables is wearing his from last year. Mine's in the closet somewhere. This is year 15 now. I wore my number 15 one last week, but it's a cool thing. Every, you know, $500, you get a silver medal, $1,000, you get a gold medal, and there's other things on top of it. But most importantly, we do this to help out those big, beautiful kids in there in the hospitals that need our help. So, and you play games for 24 straight hours. So, I mean, it's a win-win, really. And it's like, people can't get mad at you for playing games for 24 hours because you're doing, you're doing for the kids. So, yeah, it's a really, really great thing we do. If you're interested, please go to extra-life.org. Website, there's a bunch of details about it. This is your 15. They've raised well over $100 million and over the course of time of doing this. I think, I can't remember what they were, like, they pretty much raised probably $12+ million every year. So this is a legit thing that that's been going on for a long time now. It's only getting bigger and better. And so if you can, you know, I know right now in the last few years now, the wallet's getting a little tighter, but you know, if you got $5-$10 you can throw out, you know, do that. People, if this is something that you're interested in, like I said, extra-life.org, go there and read about it. And or if there's something you know that might be interested in, even better, like, you know, tell them about it. Just spread the word of it, you know, share it out there. Even if you're not planning on participating or can't donate yourself, but just telling people you think that that might be interested in doing this, to help spread the word and raise more awareness and help those kids out there is great. So, Yeah, really, really cool if you do that. But yeah, we're gonna talk more about at the end of the show, kind of what our plans. Maybe if this is like your first time, or you know, maybe you've only done it a couple times, and you've been struggling with it. Got some tips, and we're gonna talk about what our plans are at the end of the show. But Gables, before we get into the news, I do want to mention, if you're liking this show, you enjoy us, or if you listen for long, was this your 580th time or your first time? You know, please like, follow, subscribe. We're on YouTube. Wherever on podcast apps, we're everywhere on there. Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, we're on all those places. Please just look us up, Drunk Dash Nerds, Drunk Nerds Podcast. You'll find us. Give us a thumb, you know, on YouTube, subscribe, thumbs up, you know, everywhere else, 5-star reviews, all that. Share is probably the most important thing you can do for us, honestly. Just help get our name out there. We're just two guys that, you know, get together every week and just do this for fun. We have full time jobs, so this is not our full time gig. So, but anyways, let's get into the news, Gables. Not a lot going on the last couple weeks, you know, but we're it's the end of the year. Things are winding down, you know, we're now it's just, games are just coming out now.
Yep.
Which is great. I mean, games have been coming out all year at a crazy pace, but now it's just like we're in that holiday rush where people are just getting games out. So really the big thing that's happened this week, kind of surprisingly, was, it was dropped that, Xbox was doing their first ever partner preview, is what they're calling it. Kind of like a Nintendo, it's kind of talked about it as like a Nintendo partner direct, or like kind of like a state of play.
Yes.
Where it's mostly focusing on like third party stuff. And so they had that. It was on Wednesday. It was about 30 minutes long, give or take. And yeah, like we didn't have a lot of details. We just knew like the new Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth was going to be there. Mm-hmm. There's going to be an Alan Wake 2 trailer out as well. But we didn't have a lot of other details besides that. But kind of some of the, so I think there was 11 games shown here all in all. And so it was kind of nice. They just kind of focused a decent amount of time on a bunch of different games. Started off though with, Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. We already knew the release date, January 26th, but the big thing they showed was the Dondoko Island, which is like an Animal Crossing game that they just put in to these games are gigantic already, these Like a Dragon games, and they just added their own literally full-fledged Animal Crossing game on top of it. I'm blown away by this, Gables. I don't know how the fuck they do it. These games come out at a ridiculous pace already.
Yes.
Like we're getting Like a Dragon Ishin came out earlier this year.
Yeah.
We have The Man Who Changed His Name coming out on November 9th, and this is coming out at the end of January. So like three games in less than a year. Like I don't understand how they do it. But then on top of that, like there's already like these games are huge already, and like there's gonna be people that will spend hundreds of hours just probably on Dondoko Island.
Probably, most likely.
I'm blown away by this. Like these are not my games. Like I'm gonna like this is coming to Game Pass day one. I'm going to check out The Man Who Erased His Name. Like that looks kind of cool. And I think it's supposed to be like a bit of a smaller game too. So I think it'd be I've never played one. I'm going to give it a shot. You know, I feel like this is a decent one for me to dip my toes in a little bit, but, man, what were you thinking on this one, Gables?
It looks crazy, but I think it looks like something that's going to be worth a shot to play. I mean, what else can I really say about it? You know, I mean, there is definitely a lot of inspiration to Animal Crossing. It's so fucking campy. It's so freaking like crazy looking too. It actually makes me really want to just sit back and just play it for like at least a couple of days and see if I actually like what type of crazy crap I'm going to get myself into inside of it. But on top of that game, you know, it's like you have Like a Dragon Ishin that's going to be on Game Pass fairly soon.
Mm-hmm.
And like obviously the...
That came out I think like last week.
Okay, so that game is already out on Game Pass. Oof,
yeah.
God bless. But yeah, the one with like not, you know, the knowing of the name, that
Man Who Erased His Name.
The Man Who Erased His Name and stuff like that. That one I know is a remake of like a PlayStation 3 game that was like Japan only. Yeah.
Oh, it was I thought Ishin was the remake.
No. Ishin's not the remake. It's actually the man that erased his name. That one's a remake of that game that never came out into the US, I believe. Maybe wrong, but I know that was based upon like a PS3 game.
Okay.
But anyways, yeah, I am in agreement with you. Having so many of these type of Yakuza games release subsequently in the span of a year is really crazy. On top of that, it's like these games are all on Game Pass for you to actually go forth and try out, including like, you had the original Yakuza games as well you can try out. But man, yeah, man, I can't get I can't wait just to go through and try it.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm ever like I might try just if like there's nothing out around that time, especially coming to Game Pass. But I'm not gonna do the Dandoko Island thing, like Animal Crossing, my thing. But I might be able to, I might jump into this. But yeah, it's well, I respect it so much too because like they add these things in here, but it doesn't feel like they're just like we talk about like oh they're just chasing trends or they're just
Right.
shoehorning things in. Like they put these things in here, but they also don't like lose their vision. They don't lose their style. Like this feels like authentically them just looking
Yeah.
at it. And that's why I respect so much about it. It's just like, it doesn't feel like, it's not like a Ubisoft thing where we're just doing something, this thing that's popular. It's like, no, like we're doing this thing, but we're also like, but we're going to make it our own too. And like, I blows me away they're able to do that. Next up here though, we had, Ikaro. I'm not sure how you say it. Will not die. This was revealed. This is from the Power Wash Simulator developer. They also made
Oh
Velocity
yeah.
a few years ago. So it did come out. This is actually like a roguelite action game, but it was like I love the style of it. I love the it does like actually look like Velocity, which I can't remember if I owned that game, but I don't know if I ever actually played it. But I remember like liking like when I saw the game. But I love the visuals of it. But it looks like almost like Jet Set Radio. Action roguelike game to me. So I mean I don't think they said if it's coming to Game Pass or not. It's supposed to come out next year, but if it's coming to Game Pass, I'm definitely gonna try it out. I'm not a huge roguelike guy, but
Right.
I loved everything we saw of it. I love the combat looked great, the visuals look great, like how fast everything was flowing looks great. So I'm gonna definitely want to check this one out when or if it comes out next year. What about you?
Well, you know what? The action that the footage for that game, really fast paced, roguelike stuff. I usually give roguelike games a shot, you know? So yeah, that's something I would definitely want to go forth and play. But on top of that, it's like it looks really fun. I'm not gonna judge anything about that until I actually have get my hands on it. But yeah, seems okay.
Yeah. Still Wakes the Deep. This is a game that was originally revealed, I believe, it was at an Xbox event, so it had to have been the Summer Game Fest show in June.
Right.
This was come out in early 2024. It is a sorry, got distracted there. But it is like a kind of like a walk simulator, like horror game though, where you're on like an oil rig in the middle of the ocean. So it's supposed to be a set in the 70s and you're in the North Sea. And looks like we didn't really have a lot of details on what it was before when initially it's kind of solid. Like we didn't have a lot of like it was kind of a teaser originally. This would be like somebody like walking through and you like you hear something yelling like it's a like kind of like demonic almost like or possessed or something like that.
Yeah.
But this is from the people that made like Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. They also made Amnesia game as well, so this isn't like their first foray. I played Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, and like I did not vibe with the walking simulator games. Don't usually vibe with me so much, but
Yeah.
I like I do like Outlast stuff like that. So if this is more like a horror walking simulator style game, like this is something I'm really into. I like the visuals of it. I like the idea of being stuck by yourself on an oil rig. Sounds pretty terrifying, so I'm down to it's coming to Game Pass, so I'm down to check it out. So what about you, Gables?
You know what it kind of reminds me of, though, in terms of survival horror type of games? It kind of reminds me a bit of Outlast in some aspects because of the whole aspect you're exploring this tank or stuff. There's hardly anybody, if not no one there, and you're just running away from like, or just trying to escape this whole like this fuel tanker type of stuff, And it, the concept that I feel is fairly interesting, it's something a little bit different in terms of survival horror, in terms of the setting, but at the same point, I'm kind of invested in seeing how what type of like way they're gonna go with the story, because a good survival horror game, you have to have multiple different types of things in order for it to go right, and story and the type of suspense and the pacing are fairly important, but. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to like I'm really looking forward to seeing how this game does.
Yeah. And I look forward to me telling you about it, how much it scared me, and you laugh at me about it.
Oh yeah, that's a thing too.
Yeah, PT and Outlast.
Oh yes.
Next up here though, we had RoboCop, Rogue City. I got really excited when this was here because I thought, oh my God, it's coming to Game Pass. Because
That's what I thought.
this is like the one head scratcher here is like, I'm assuming like Ikaro, whatever it's supposed to be called. It's some of the other
Yeah.
games that didn't say Game Pass are coming to Game Pass day one. But
Right.
like when I saw this, I'm like, oh, this has gotta come. It's, you know, it's just like a middle
This is
tier
the
game.
perfect Game
Yeah,
Pass
this is a
game.
game that is built for Game Pass. You're exactly right. And I've actually been like, I've talked about this a few times on the podcast where I've seen like some trailers and shit and like some previews and stuff. And I'm like, this game actually looks like really good. And like, not like, I'm not
Yes.
trying to say game of the year, but like, this looks like a fucking like, kind of like almost like Final Fantasy Zero was that last year? It was just like, it's just like, it's a really awesome 7 out of 10, you know? And they made the Terminator Resistance game a few years ago, like 4 years ago. And that game was like very, like, it was like kind of like, you know, like basically what this looks like is like a really solid shooter, first person shooter game that's like, it's really fun, but it's like a 7 out of 10. And everything I'm seeing on this, but this one's actually like,
It's more evolved than that.
it's like, yeah, it's like an RPG. Like people are calling it like, if,
It's like a freaking Bethesda style of
yeah, it's like a
RPG.
Fallout, but it's like, it's way smaller. Like I heard, I guess you can beat it in like 20 hours, you know, but it's like a,
Right.
but it's like a mini Fallout or RoboCop game. But like this, I watched some people play a demo of this game 'cause I just wanted to like see it in action, and it looks awesome. It is
Dude.
so gory. It is like the act, it's like ridiculous. Go ahead, Gables. I love this.
Dude, yeah, I was watching Maximilian Dude play this in terms of one of his streams and stuff, like the demo portion of it, and he was picking up like CRT, like big old computer monitors and hucking them
Yeah,
at gang members. He was like,
you could pick them up and throw them out the window.
you could pick them up by the neck and just ragdoll toss
Yeah,
them.
it's like, it is like this game, I think, knows what it is, but they just went like full bore with like, we're just gonna be an over the top, like RoboCop's over the top in general, but it's like, we're just gonna
Yeah.
go 100 miles an hour into like this area. We're not gonna try, like, we know what this is, but we're gonna lean into that. And it's like they're doing it. This game looks incredible. I believe it's $50 or $60, so it's not completely full price, but you know, it's kind of in the higher range still. But this is a game like to come out November 2nd. I was like, oh man, if this comes to Game Pass, fuck yeah, I'm playing the fuck out of this for Extra Life. But unfortunately, you know, yeah, it's coming. It doesn't look like it's coming to Game Pass. But like you could shoot people, like, so you know, like when you headshot people, like like a red X will pop up, so we like it tells you. So RoboCop had like the movie, like one of the point he shoots a guy in the dick. So in this game, when you shoot a guy in the dick, you get the when you get a headshot, it does the red X when you shoot him in the dick. So it's fucking awesome. I love this. I'm like, this is great. Yeah, I think this game looks incredible. Like if it wasn't coming out, like, I already have like three major games right now that I haven't even touched Alan Wake 2. I have two other big games I'm playing right now. We have fucking, you know, like I said, I want to play the man who erased his name. That's a couple weeks away. And I have Assassin's Creed Mirage coming, and we have Mario RPG. Like I would be picking this up day one. But yeah, I this is definitely a game I'm gonna like Black Friday though. This thing is like $30. Fucking buying this now will be like my December game because this game looks fucking incredible. So,
It does seem pretty incredible, dude.
yeah, goddamn. Like, this might be like this. That might be one. Like, it might not be like a game of the year contender, but it's like a contender for like most fun game of the year. If that makes sense, people. Yeah, man. Oh God, the game looks so good. next up, we had a game called Dungeons of Hinterberg. This was also revealed back at Summer Game Fest for the Xbox event. It's like that one where like you're snowboarding and it's also like some action combat and stuff like that. You're like, but it's also like I don't know if it's like a dating sim, but also like you do have a, there's like a social aspect of the game. But I really vibed with like the music, the setting, The art design, the combat looks fine. This is definitely like my shit type of game, like a really fun like indie game. I'm not like going in fully expecting this to be like, you know, like a 10 out of 10 or 9 out of 10, but like
Right.
this looks like almost like a like boyfriend dungeon type of like level. Like this is gonna be a game, or like Ravenlock I played earlier, so this is a game I'm gonna like just have a great time with it and like beat it and like move on after a few days. But yeah, this is also a day one Game Pass game. But yeah, this is definitely Tyler shit right here. I don't know if this one, I'm thinking this one probably didn't vibe for you, Gables, but I'm curious what you thought.
Honestly, it didn't really vibe too much with me, but at the same point, you know, it's like I'm glad you're finding some elements of it that that you want to play through. I mean, that definitely seems like it's going to be fairly interesting of a play, but yeah, it didn't really spark anything.
Yeah. Well, next up here, we had Spirit of the North 2. This is the one with the fox and the raven. It's kind of surprising because, like, I vaguely remember Spirit of the North. Like, I'm trying to remember if I played it because I know I double checked and I own this game. I don't know. Maybe I don't know if I got it through, like, a PS Plus thing, but I have
It
this
could have
game.
been.
But, like, have I played this game before? I guess I can look at my trophies. I didn't look to see if I played it, but this looks like you play as a fox. Why the fuck didn't I play this game? Like, you know, like that's totally like that's just Tyler bait right there. But I don't know, like I'm a sucker for these style of games. I want to I did download the first game. Redownloaded it. I don't know, maybe I just never download. I don't fucking know. I have it. But I'm definitely gonna, this is like something like not imminently I'm gonna play, but I do want to play the first one and I don't know, see if I vibe with it. But I mean, I don't know. It's like the trailer didn't really do much for me other than the fact, oh, he plays a fucking adorable fox. Okay, I'm gonna play it. So that's kind of my two cents. What about you, Gibbles?
It does look like it's going to be a little bit more intricate than the first game. I mean, I saw little bits of gameplay of the first game that seemed all right. The second one kind of seems more of the same, but at the same time, there definitely seems to be more added on to it, which I'm interested in seeing the review scores when that game eventually releases.
Yeah. Next up, this one surprised me. It took me a second to like trigger because it said Metal Gear Solid. I was like, I didn't even finish reading it. Like it just popped up and it said first look, and I'm like first in engine look. I'm like okay. I'm like, why are they showing this? The collection? I thought it was the collection, and I'm
Right.
like oh fuck, it's the game. And so we got some this is Metal Gear Solid Delta, aka that's the Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater remake. Got some details on this one. It's in Unreal Engine 5. Didn't get in like any real combat. We did see like him.
No.
We saw snakes sneaking and like aim a gun at somebody. Everything we saw though is the very beginning of the game. Like you see the initial like bridge. We did see like I guess we did see like one sneak up where he goes and like he kills a guy. But you see the initial bridge you go over. You see like the little like the destroyed like house, the remains of a house, which is where you meet Ocelot for the first time. There's like one of the areas where you fight the guy. You fight the I can't remember the guy the boss fight the but the B guy. Like you see that
The
area.
pain.
The pain, thank you. And then you see like a couple of other like late game areas, but there's like nothing happening. It's just like more like just a few shots, but no like real gameplay or anything like that. No release date, no nothing, but it looks gorgeous, but it's obviously like this could, you know, I don't know, like we've been tricked many a times and it's Konami. Like they have to earn our trust on this one.
Yeah, they most definitely should.
I've called them, they're like the Simpsons monkey paw of gaming, where it's like they have all these things that we want, and when they finally like give us what we think we want, they fuck it up or they give it to us half ass. Like the Metal Gear Solid collection just came out, like man, like everything I'm hearing about it, it's like it's so disappointing, but I'm like I'm still gonna buy it because I'm a sucker and like we're all suckers, they know we're suckers, but it's like everything I was like I was reading like when you play the game, the blue point, you know, it's literally they just up-res the blue point remasters from a decade ago, and like
Yeah, and
the
on top of that, there's some aspects of the visual fidelity to look that for, say, like for example, for Metal Gear Solid, the original and stuff, it looks worse than it does for a PS1.
yeah, like well, and it's like the Switch versions run only run at like 30 frames per second. The PC versions are all fucked up, which how I don't get that. Yeah, it's like Yeah, it's so disappointing, but like, I'm gonna buy it, like, cause I'm a sucker, and cause that if I buy this one, that means they're gonna have to put out this is volume one. That means volume two's gonna come out, and it's gonna have to have Metal Gear Solid 4 on it. So, like,
it'll have to have MGS4, absolutely.
Yeah, like I have a copy in my closet somewhere, but with my PS3, but like I just put on it, like I just want to play it on my modern console. So, yeah, I don't know. What were you feeling, Gables, about this Metal Gear Solid Delta?
I was very much surprised in terms of what the in-engine stuff is going through with like Unreal 5 and stuff, and like how, well, is it Unreal 5 or is it the Fox Engine?
Unreal Engine 5. Which, yeah, that's a good point. Like, they spent all this money on that Fox Engine. Well, Kojima spent a lot of their money on this Fox Engine.
Yeah.
And we got Metal Gear Solid 5 out of it. We got Metal Gear Solid Survive out of it. And then there's going to Unreal Engine 5. Like, that Fox Engine was fucking awesome. So I'm kind of shocked that they're not using it anymore.
Well, anyways, for what my thoughts and stuff was, I thought it looked pretty fun and stuff. It definitely did look pretty good in terms of when you're seeing around the first area from the crocodiles and when you first drop in and stuff after the Halo jump and stuff. You see all the details and stuff of the freaking crocodiles. You have, like, all the mud that's caked on of, like Naked Snake and stuff, and like everything else is like so hyper detailed in that regards, like the smooth frame rate for being an engine and stuff. That spot, like you were just saying, where you meet Revolver Ocelot for the first time and then you pass over the bridge and stuff before you meet the Pain and stuff in that boss fight. It seems like to me that graphically, from what we're seeing in Unreal Engine 5, it looks good, but the major questions are going to be revolve around the combat. Is this going to be a twin analog thing? Is it going to be more of what MGS traditionally was, which was shooting with a square button?
I got to imagine if they're remaking this on Unreal Engine 5, it's going to feel more modern, but
it has to feel more modern.
I mean, but like at that point, Metal Gear Solid 3 at that point was like cutting edge, like gameplay. So I don't,
that was cutting edge. But at the same point, you still had games from that generation, especially that predate that game of MGS, like 3 and like this and that, with dual freaking analog support for first-person shooters. Halo Combat Evolved on consoles back in 2001. It's so surprising that more developers from that generation did not copy that. Like the ones that made like Metal Arms, Glitch in the System, you know, that one has dual analog things, even on the GameCube, and it feels so fucking weird to play because it's got dual analog stuff that's modernized. But other than that rant, I did like what I saw from the
never,
game.
I did not have Metal Arms rants in the bingo card for this podcast, Gables.
It's the only game that I could think of other than Halo Combat Evolved that actually had that modernized twin stick first-person shooter type of thing.
I just think it's funny, like, that's the example you pull out, is Metal Arm. Of all the games, Metal Arm for the GameCube. I don't know why, it's just funny to me.
Well, it's also on PS2 and Xbox as well.
No, but I know, but you simply said the GameCube version, which is, I'm just picturing you using the
played the GameCube version.
I know, but
at least a little bit.
I'm just picturing you have to use the C-stick, which is just even funnier to me.
Dude, yeah, exactly. You use the fucking C-stick, right? That little nub and stuff. But you're so used to, like, that big inventory slot stuff, but you actually try to use it, and it's like, okay, this is weird. Where's the top? Yeah. There's no top end to actually go for precise movements and stuff.
C-stick was such a weird time. I'm glad we moved past it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyways, Metal Gear Solid Delta. What the hell's that?
I pull up an obscure reference or something, and I just get you going.
You broke me, Gables. I have no response.
Oh, but yes, I do want twin stick thing for this remaster of MGS 3.
You want twin sticks? I want twin snake. So.
Oh yeah. Oh God, I would love to play that on modern things as well.
Yeah, that'd be fucking brilliant. Next up, though, Manor Lords. This is like a medieval city building game where you can also have like tactical battles. That is coming to PC Game Pass in April, or April 25th to be exact. And it's also coming to consoles day one, but it's not. It's coming later. These are not for me. Looks, I don't know. I'm not gonna sit there and say whether this looks good or bad because I don't know. So these are not my bag.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm in the same boat as you. They're not really my cup of tea. I don't really do like real time strategy games all that much.
Yeah. Next up, the finals. This is that live service game. The beta is going on right now, I believe, until the 5th. It's on everything, like Steam, Xbox, and PlayStation. Apparently, it's been so, like, the beta so big that they've actually maxed out the servers. So, but this is like,
well, that's good.
Yeah, so it's a free to play team based shooter game that's like, I believe it's like, 4 teams of 3. There's different like, game types as well, but, very like, it's like you're in an arena, but you're like fighting on like. Like an actual arena, like there's a crowd of people like watching you and you're fighting on like, but there's like different environments. Like one of them is like, you're fighting on like a multi-level houses and stuff like that. It's all destructible environments, very fast paced. It looks, I mean, like you watch the trailers, it looks awesome. But then you when you watch the trailer again, it's like, no one ever plays like games. No one plays games like that. But I don't know. I think the style, like the visually, I think the game looks nice. I think it looks fun as hell, like the fast pacedness of it, but I don't know. It's just like, there is just a major stigma on live service games nowadays, and especially, you know, shooters. And, it's just like, it's a major, there's all hurdles you got to get over to, like, you're starting in a major, major trench when you put these games out, unless you can blow us away with something. This didn't look bad, but we've seen this time and time again. We see good, like solid to good live service games come out, even free to play ones, and they just don't connect, or they connect, but then it's for a short period of time. So I don't know. What about you, Gables?
Honestly, I like the ideas that they're using to implement for this live service game, but at the same point, I don't feel like this game's going to stick around for too long after it launches. Maybe like for about a season or two, but the reason why I'm saying that is because, as you were saying, these live service games do have a stigma attached to them. If they're not making gross amount of money, like, say, with Fortnite, or in terms of, like, other major successful ones at the time, like, say, you know, Apex Legends or whichever, you know, you're not going to be around for long. And we've already seen the death of so many live service games in the past few years that it's incredibly gutsy to try to release a live service game in this gaming environment to where it's high risk all the way around.
Yeah.
Unless you have a solid idea that you are guaranteed to make head over heels more cash and stuff in order to funnel into it so you can make much more expansive content for those that want to invest in, then no one's going to give a crap about it after about a week or two.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the type of thing I feel about this game. The finals, it has some cool elements to it. It definitely has good ideas in terms of like having the destructible environments, having like the aspects of these all these different 3v3 teams, because nobody wants to play another generic battle royale game at this moment in time. But what would make this game much more enticing for people is if they include even more like type of even more type of stuff they're not able to do in other live service games, or if, say, the expansions to these to this game or some, you know, or the seasons to this game, I should say, more appropriately, is going to be more enticing for people just to come back and try to play this over and over again. I mean, the gameplay hook is what will get people coming back for more, and for this type of multiplayer game, there has to be that one more game mentality that will help retain players. But other than that, though, I just got a feeling this game is not going to last more than a couple of years.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, we've been wrong before, but
yeah,
we're right more times than we're wrong. And honestly, right now, it's like, it's easy. Like, it's so easy to take the bad side of these games. The bad things happen to these games rather than like they blow up, become hugely successful. Because we see, you know, 9 out of 10 that we see, it's kind of come and go. So it's no disrespect to that game. I don't think the game, I mean, it's just the way the gaming is going right now. So, but it's the thing I've been talking about. Like, you know, it's like games as a service blew up in like you know, kind of like 2017, 18, 19. And so a lot of developers started making their games a service game in that time frame, and now those games are coming out now, and now the landscape has changed. So this, I feel like this year, next year, and maybe even 2025 will just be, this trend will continue until, and hopefully people, you know, kind of saw the writing on the wall the last couple of years and kind of changed plans or whatever. But we'll have to wait and see. I wish no ill will. I hope that works out. I hope they become billionaires. I really do. We'll have to wait and see on that one. Ark Survival Ascended, got that coming. Is coming to Xbox as well. Believe next month, but it did come out in early access on Steam. Apparently, it's not running really well. This is actually like they did Unreal 5 engine remake of the Ark, so this is like an updated version of this one. They actually delayed Ark 2 with Vin Diesel. They announced like 3 years ago for to do this remake in Unreal 5, and the new one comes out. And like, this is a huge, this is one of those things where it's like, I've never met a single person that's played Ark. But these games are hugely successful. And I know I remember like vaguely people were pissed because like they were taking down the original one to put out this new one, and then they were charging like insane prices to their fans for, I can't remember all the details, but basically their fans were pretty pissed. And then they put this out early access and it's not running great. And like, yeah, so I don't know. But it's coming. I have nothing else to add on this one. What about you, Gables?
I'll be perfectly honest with you, Tyler. I am really not too much of a fan of Ark, like the Ark series in general. At the same point, you know, this kind of just made me feel numb. I could not really get excited too much of it because I keep thinking about the freaking one with the Vin Diesel in it. I'm like, no.
I can't wait for that one to come out. Not because I'm going to play it. I just can't wait to see it, honestly.
So. I just can't wait to see it. I just can't wait to see how it'll do inside the review scores here, because is this going to be like a Chronicles of Riddick, or is this going to be like a cash grab because we have a celebrity involved in this type of game? And you know, I can't decipher which one of the two it's going to be. So this is going to be,
I don't even care about cash grab or what the reviews are. I just want to fucking see Vin Diesel in this goddamn game. I can't wait to see it. That's part of
it. It's more family.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. For family. Hey, don't you disrespect Fast Furious on this podcast. It's one of the few rules we have on this podcast. We don't disrespect Fast and Furious. Last but not least here, Alan Wake 2, we got another trailer for this one. It's already out. Trailer looks awesome. Looks really good. Looks amazing.
Yeah.
But my one play was like, I didn't want to see that. Like, I kind of, this is like something like, honestly, I wish I could have just seen this experiences for myself in the game. Like that, the fight with like that, the ghost in the house and shit. Like I didn't want to see any of this. Like, I just want to experience the shit. But hey, I get it. So it's the one last big push before the game came out. So yeah, like, looks great, but yeah, I'm not too much. Nothing more to add, because I just can't wait to play this game.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, I really like the gameplay that we saw inside of that Alan Wake 2 trailer. But, oh, Jesus Christ, though, the amount of hits that thing took.
Right.
And it's just the feeling of, oh, like, am I supposed to just run away from this thing? Am I supposed to go forth and just keep adding on and stuff? Because that seemed like a bullet sponge all the way through.
Yeah. That thing was fucking terrifying. So, yeah, I cannot.
Oh. Oh, my God. Yeah, the heads at the top, the heads in the bottom.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell am I even looking
at? Yeah, it was a great trailer. And it was a great thing to show. But, my God. Yeah.
They definitely nailed the survival horror kind of like monster theme to it, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But I mean, kind of final thoughts on this, like, oh, that was a pretty good show. Like, I mean, I'm not like raving about this thing. Like, I'm not like, oh my God, this is best show ever. But like, I like these in theory. For the most part, like, you know, like there's definitely like, the problem is like sometimes when you watch these, it's like, if nothing hits for you, it's like it can really drag and really suck. Like,
yeah.
There's that famous direct from last year where like the partner direct they did where there was like 8 anime farming games, and it's like, Jesus fucking, like, really? Or like that last State of Play we had from PlayStation. Like, it was a pretty bad State of Play unless you cared about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And then it was fucking awesome. That was like the one game. That was the one thing that saved it from, like, was that, I think, last month. And yeah, but we sat through a lot of these. But there's a lot. There's enough in here for me personally where I'm like, you know, like Ikaro looks great. Steel Wakes the Deep looks good. RoboCop looks awesome. I just wish it was on Game Pass. Dungeons of Hindenburg, I'm going to check out. Spirit of the North 2, I'm interested to play. Obviously, getting to see Metal Gear Solid Delta. Gameplay was exciting, but obviously, you know, obviously you can take that with a grain of salt. And Alan Wake 2 is just, hey, it's more Alan Wake 2. But I don't know. In the grand scheme of things, like, I want them to keep doing this. Like this has been like the big gap we've been talking about for Xbox, where it's like PlayStation and Nintendo have filled in those gaps in between their main directs and their main showcases, where it's like they have, right, like the Nindies and we have State of Plays. It's like Xbox, like, it'd be great for Xbox, especially with Game Pass, where it's like they can really sell Game Pass even more to do stuff like this and put remind us and push those games more. And that's been like my main complaint, is like they announced these games coming to Game Pass day one at like on the Xbox showcase in June, and then the games come out, you know, a year later or 6 months later, and they just mention it, like it kind of gets dropped on Twitter, or like they'll do it in like their Xbox blog post or something like that. It's like, no, like this is like a great way to like remind people and show these games to, like, that, you know, more that way more people get to play these games. Maybe more people get to play Cocoon or I don't know, a million other fucking games that come out day one that are amazing on Game Pass. So yeah, overall I thought it was fine. I enjoyed it for what it was. Like, it was 28 minutes, so I didn't waste a lot of time. Got in and got out, and I enjoyed it for what it was. What about you, Gables?
Honestly, I thought it was good. I don't think it was great, but at the same time, we did get a good chance to see a bunch of different games, a lot of which that we've been waiting for some updates on, like the Yakuza game and stuff, that Animal Farming, like, sort of like esque sort of homage or something, the Dandoko Island.
Yeah.
Some bit of the first in footage, though, MGS3 was nice and stuff. The Alan Wake 2 stuff, yeah, that was fantastic and stuff. But, yeah, there were definitely a couple of different game reveals or, like, game updates and stuff I really wasn't a fan of. I mean, I don't really like RTS stuff, so that one didn't hit with me and stuff.
Yeah.
The Metalords and stuff. The finals, that didn't hit with me either and stuff. But, yeah, it was more kind of like a half and half sort of thing with me. So, yeah, I thought it was like a 6 out of 10, mostly at best.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, let's move on, Gables, to go to Nintendo here. So, Nintendo announced some new guideline changes for Smash Brothers tournaments. Kind of, it's been caused more uproar in the fighting game community. So, it's been like a real back and forth with, like, really Nintendo has had this weird kind of hatred for the fighting game community with the Smash Bros. Community.
Absolutely. For like years.
For decades now. Like, I mean, they added, like, in Brawl, they added the random tripping element to, like, just kind of as an FU to the fighting game community. They've taken it out of Evo. They forced some of the biggest Smash tournaments to, like, cancel their events the last couple of years. On like no notice, like right before the tournament's supposed to happen. So they come out with some details here on some of the new some of the new rules you're gonna need for these tournaments, if you're gonna have one. So community tournaments may not generate commercial revenue except as permitted by these guidelines. Cap of 200 participants in person or 300 online, which that's hilarious, trying to do a Smash Brothers game online. You just twisted a knife on that
before one. Before you continue on, though, Tyler, with the whole aspect of having like the 300 players and stuff online, my mind flashes back to what I think it was one of the former pro players for Hungrybox or something like that, showing a clip of footage of Smash Brothers Brawl online and it running like 2 or 3 frames per second. That's how bad some of Nintendo's online stuff when it comes to these games are.
Yeah, yeah. That's just a mean joke there. Organizers may not receive compensation from third-party sponsors, and they may not sell food, beverages, or merchandise at these events.
Not even like water.
Yeah, so basically, like, you can put these events on, but you can't make money off of them. Why would people put these events on? No prizes exceeding a market value of $5,000. I believe that's total, not for the, if you win, you get 5,000. That's across the board is 5,000 total cash prizes. No spectator fees for online tournaments, which I guess that's fair. Organizers must publicly disclose all accounting related to the cost of hosting the event promptly. And then, like they said, you can, if you want to exceed any of these things, you can apply to get a license from Nintendo. So yeah, like, and there's also another one in there. There's a bunch of other like smaller rules, but like one of the main ones is like, the one that people were upset about was like, you have to use a first party Nintendo controller. So that's kind of a fuck you to like a lot of people, like, you know, they're playing, they play on like Melee. They use, new controllers, not like the cheap, but like they use more comfortable, they use better controllers, more comfortable controllers. Also people with, disabilities use accessibility controllers that like built, they built for accessibility so they can play these things. So Nintendo continuing on their fuck you to people that are disabled, don't play like, so they can't play their games. That's still happening. Yeah, like, look, this is, to me personally, this doesn't affect me in any sort of way. Like, I'm not into the fighting game community, like fighting games, like communities kind of stuff. I've watched some Evo stuff, and it definitely gets exciting, but I'm not the person to watch Evo a lot. I'll watch clips and like I'll read about stuff online. But it just, it blows my mind, like the, just like the hatred like they have for like the fact they just, they don't like the fact that people consider this as a fighting game. And like the way like they've always tried to undercut this Smash game for literal console generations, at this point, like since Smash Brothers Melee. And I, it just blows me away that like, and like, I get it. Like, oh, they own the IP. They can do what they want. I get it. I know they can, but like, we have these weird fucking fanboys out here defending this billion-dollar company. It doesn't give a shit about you. I love Nintendo. Like, I love their games. I love their consoles. Don't get me wrong. But like, they don't care about me. They don't care about any of you. No. But it's like, we have like, you know, it's like they went after like, it's like this whole thing they went on like years ago. Like they went out, they did the whole weird YouTube thing where they took all the content creators' money, from on like YouTube and shit like that, because they're like streaming their games, even though they're making their own content, other stuff, and also putting more eyeballs on their games. And making them, you know, and doing their own things with it. Like, you can argue that maybe that's probably against the law. I don't know. You know, fair use claims there. But we've seen them time and time again. They care more about owning everything and not like giving up an inch than, you know, celebrating this thing. And I get there's a lot of issues in the fighting game community that came out over the last few years about sexual harassment, sexual assault. All these awful bullying and all these awful things happened, specifically in the Smash community, from what I understand.
Yes.
And I get like, hey, that like that's bad association for us. But this is like, this stuff predates all of that. And I don't, yes. I'm like, this is good for Smash. Like, we see all these other fighting game developers, publishers out there lean into, you know, Evo and lean into like, you know, we saw Street Fighter, Capcom put $1 million on the line for Street Fighter this year. Like, they lean into this. They know it's good for them. It's good for business. It's good. It is, you know, it's good for the gamers and it's good for business. It's a win-win. It's like when I was talking about, like,
absolutely.
It's like when, like, you see, like, people were like, make fun of like, the Gears of War. Cause they said 1% of everything they earn forever for through Gears will go to mental health charities. And people in this, it's like, make fun of that. And it's like, what did you make fun of there? Like, well, you know, you spend $10. Well, they keep nine, but they only give one. It's like, this is a win-win. They make money and they help people. So it's like, absolutely. This is a win-win. Like, yeah, could they do more? Sure. But this is the best way they're going to get involved. I don't understand like why they fight this and continue like, and they're like, but it's Nintendo. They're going to get away with it. They're going to do fine and no one's going to care. But to Nintendo, the three most important things about Nintendo are their consoles, their games, and their lawyers. And, you know, the Nintendo of America is just a law office. And this is, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's frustrating. People are going to defend it because they're fucking weirdos. And I don't know, because you can't say anything bad about Nintendo, God forbid. But I don't know, Gable, it was kind of like, you're a big, you love Evo, you love fighting games. Like, kind of how you feel on this one?
I think it's a complete horseshit. I honestly feel, I'm not going to mince words either, man. This is complete horseshit because the fighting game community and as a whole and stuff, they are the most hardcore. They're the most, like,
Most loyal.
They are the most loyal and the most driven community inside of the entirety of gaming, I'd argue.
That's fair.
And in regards to the Smash community in general, yeah, there's been a lot of like terrible things that have happened inside of the Smash community, but that does not justify going through and just trying to ostracize the entirety of the community as a whole. But when it comes to Nintendo, you're right. And you bring forth a couple different points and stuff that Nintendo is so much pigeonholed in terms of wanting to control almost every aspect of their license, all like every aspect of not just that, but also the competitive scenes and stuff as well, had like just taking games off of Evo, like the Smash Brothers games off of Evo, like Melee and like Smash Ultimate and stuff, because at the end of the day, Nintendo wants to create and make all of the money, like honestly, they feel like they should because they created this property. And on top of that, they want to have people focus upon what they're doing in terms of a tournament and stuff, as opposed to shelling out to a third party or letting these other, like, what in their eyes, I'm saying, these smaller tournaments exist to where they're profiting off of something using their IP. I mean, granted, I can see what Nintendo is seeing in terms of their perspective, but at the grand scheme of things is when you're not able to go forth and celebrate something as a community, you're going to look at the property in general in disdain. And not because that the game itself is bad, but because the company is so much of a strangling effect on the community as a whole of the game that they're not able to go forth and enjoy it to the full extent as what they could do. And in regards to the game itself, that has the possibility of diminishing what the game community for Smash in and of itself, and just ostracize it to the point where it could potentially kill that entire series, because no one's going to give a crap about the next Smash game if they have those type of stranglehold things into effect. So Nintendo going through and making these guidelines is not only asinine, but it's completely suffocating in regards to potential fans wanting to invest more time into it if they want to do more than just say do a couple of like stock fights here or there, or they just want to use a couple of their favorite characters and do that. I mean, granted, you can still do that, but for the ones that want to go a bit further and do their own tournaments and get better with the characters that they want to get better as, and they want to go forth and do that, taking away that option to that extent, I don't know what you're going to do to try to gain back the loyalty of those players, because they're already seeing it as, hey, Nintendo doesn't want me here. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And what are they going to do? They're going to go to Street Fighter. They're going to go to Tekken. They're going to go to any other fighting game series that will look at it and will accept them and will encourage them in order to help celebrate the series that they love.
Yeah. I don't think this is going to, like, spell the end of the IP, but I do think, like you said, this is the most loyal fan base. This is their most loyal fans to this franchise. And, like, right now, like, you know, Nintendo's riding high, but God forbid there's another Wii U era where, like,
oh yeah,
you know, this is where like, you insult your fans, you insult the audience. We see this in everything. We see this in other things. You know, like, we're wrestling fans. We see what, you know, decades of, like, 15 years or whatever of just, like,
oof,
WWE insulting the audience. Those loyal fans left for a long time.
Yes, they
and
did.
Some just never came back, and it's been getting hot recently, and then people are, like, coming back in droves. But you see that, like, if they have another Wii U era where they're doing bad, they're losing money, and it's like, you've driven off these fan bases when you're riding high, and you, or you think your shit don't stink, like, if that comes back, like, you're gonna, that large chunk of the audience won't come back. Like, they're just like, no, we're exactly. Yeah, we're on to the new thing. We moved on. So, yeah, I, like, it's, are they, like, could this, do I think they're in serious trouble? No. But I do think this is, like, a thing, though, where it's like, if you have another tough stretch there, and, like, you rely on these big IPs, especially like Smash Brothers, which is one of their biggest, probably one of their five biggest IPs.
And also, which is, has the most questions surrounding it, because we don't know if there's even going to be another entry in the Smash series, let alone it being as popular as Smash Ultimate.
We know there's going to be another one, but the problem is, like, it's like the Ultimate's like the masterpieces of masterpieces of masterpieces.
Absolutely.
So
Anything less than that's going to be a step down.
yeah, I don't know. There's no, I don't know how you top it. So, yeah. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see here, Gables. But let's move on to something that we're not, we don't have to wait much longer for, Gables. That
Yes.
is Extra Life, my friend. Extra Life is next, like we were talking about at the top of the show, is next Saturday. We're gonna start that and do all that. So this time next week, Gables, we'll be getting, if everything goes to plan, we'll be getting pretty close to being done with Extra Life. So that excites me and also saddens me, because Extra Life, I always talk about, is my favorite and least favorite day of the year. I figured, every year we just try to do, like, we talk about, like, talk about our plans, kind of what we're thinking. I also have some tips out there for people. So, I don't know. I mean, kind of a few things I always throw out there every year for tips for people. Always bring more games than you think you'll need. You know, if, like, you think you're going to have, like, oh, you just bought Spider-Man, or you just bought, a couple other games, or you have a couple games that have been sitting around, or, like, oh, I'm going to play FIFA and Rocket League, and I'm going to play games with the boys. Or I'm going to, like, oh, like I said, or you just bought Spider-Man or something like that, I'm good. Always have more than you think it needs, because sometimes, like, I've made mistakes in the past where I save a couple games for Extra Life, and, like, a couple years ago, I saved, like, Far Cry 6, and I think there's one other game I saved, and I played, like, 5 or 6 hours of, like, Far Cry 6, and I'm like, that was going to be my, like, I always try to go in with, like, in my head of a game or two that's going to, like, this is going to make up the bulk of my day. But I've had a couple times now where I've, this is year 12 for me, where, like, these games, like, this one or two games, like, this is going to be it. These are going to be my big games, and, like, I play them for a few hours or maybe 5 or 6 hours, and I'm just like, they're not clicking, or I don't like these games, actually. And then you're just kind of like, fuck, I'm 6 hours into my day, and I got 18 hours to go, and, like, I don't know what to play now. Or I'm just like, now you're just trying to stretch shit out, or you're like, forcing yourself to play other games that maybe you don't want to play, that you actually don't want to play that much of. So always have more than you need. I'm a big guy. I don't eat healthy at all. But, Extra Life is the one day I recommend you listen to us here, where eat smart, don't, Gables and I know, like, don't eat a lot of carbs, try to eat a lot of salty foods, try to eat healthy, maybe some salads, throw some vegetables in there, or some fruits,
vegetables.
Yes. Stuff like that. Just do, like, try, cause, like, problem is, like, you eat a lot of carbs, you get sleepy, you get a lot of salt, a lot of sodium, you get sleepy, go ahead, Gables.
Don't overdo it with caffeine.
That's exactly where I was going to go.
Absolutely, do not overdo it with caffeine. Maybe have a couple cups of coffee or something like that. Maybe have, like, an iced coffee, like, whatever, or frap if you prefer. But at the same time, don't overdo it to the point, because all that extra caffeine is just going to go through and make you tired even quicker.
You're going to crash.
In exchange for, like, that miniature boost of adrenaline.
Yeah, yeah. Like, just, spread it out throughout the day, I'm someone that, like, I'll make 6 cups of coffee every morning. I'll drink that in the weekend, on my days off. I'll make 6 cups of coffee. I'll drink all that, but then I'll drink it, like, usually get up like 7, and I'll drink all that.
Yeah.
And then usually noon, 1 o'clock, I get a little sleepy, take a little nap. Try to break it up a little bit, like, maybe have a little bit of coffee in the morning and then have a little bit in the afternoon. Don't go too crazy, because I've talked about, I've gone crazy with, like, monsters and stuff like that, like, late at night or, like, late in the run. And then you drink too much, and then, like, now you feel sick. Like, now you're, like, now you're just, like your mind's stimulated, but your body's, like, tired, but also your stomach now hurts. So, take it easy on those as well. Then, like, if you can get some friends together that, like, aren't even participating in Extra Life, do that as well. We've had some gamer nights, and we play gamer nights with, like, we've had people jump in and play with us that weren't even participating in Extra Life. And, like, I call them the ringer, that person that comes in, like, especially, like, late at night or in the middle of the night. And,
yes,
like, you're struggling, like, you're getting, you're in, like, that, you're in the last, like, 6-8 hours, but you have someone that jumps in and just plays some games, or just jumps in a party chat with you and, just, play some games and just talks to you. Like, you're playing different games, but they're just bullshitting with you while you're doing it, and just kind of like, hey, they're, like, they're fresh and they're just having a good time. And because of that, you're having a good time. Like, Gables and I know, like, we've had friends jump in and we play a bunch of Rocket League until, like, 2-3 in the morning. Or someone jumps in and all of a sudden we're like, we're looking up Canadian folklore.
That's true.
Yeah. So, just just have people like that just kind of come in, jump in and out, and like just try to like if you have friends also participating, like Gables and I every year get together, and we just have an open party chat. We talk to each other all throughout the day. Well, even like on different, we'll just on PSN, we'll just have a party chat, and then like we're playing, we can play games on their consoles, and we'll just stay in a party chat and talk to each other. Keep us going, keep ourselves motivated, and then you know people can just because it's an open chat, people can just jump in and see us. They know we're playing an extra life, jump in and bullshit with us too. So
Yeah.
yeah, so that's always good. This is a big one, Gables, that I think we learned the hard way. Play games that you'll actually like. Don't just play bad games for the sake of playing bad games. Gables and I, we've done
Yes.
this in a couple times. We've done this in the past before. We talked about this, but I think it was 2020 or
One.
2021. Yeah, where Gables and I, like, we're gonna beat Resident, we're gonna play through Resident Evil 6, and even though we're playing games together,
Yeah.
we there was not a good time. We were it killed the vibe of Extra Life for a long time.
We kept disconnecting because the servers weren't steady. We would be playing different aspects of the campaign stuff, but because of how many times we kept dropping in and out and stuff, we literally had to wait for one another to try to rejoin each other's games and stuff.
That aside, though, the problem with the game was just awful. On top of it,
Well,
like the
yeah.
game was bad,
Yeah.
and we were just not having fun. Even though we're playing games together, like you can like playing mediocre games with your friends can still be a lot of fun, but there's a
Right.
level of awfulness to like it's just not fun anymore. And like even when we were playing together, it's like this sucks, dude. And like we beat that whole Chris campaign, and we're like, all right, we'll never do that again. And it took a good chunk of time for us to like recover from that. Like
It did,
it killed, like
absolutely.
they really killed the vibes of Extra Life for a good, like probably a third of our day. So try to play, you know, the problem is like when Extra Life, if you do, like, you don't have to do the whole, if you can't do the whole 24, don't do it. You know, if you gotta fall asleep, you got things happen, things go on, break it up. I know people that do 6 hours for, you know, like over the course of like a month, or they'll like do 24 hours over the course of like, you know, a few weeks or something like that. Or just, or if you're 12 hours in, you get sleepy, you know, stop, you know, if you have to. You know, the problem is like, but if you do the whole 24 hours, there's gonna be a point where you just don't want to play video games anymore.
Yeah, there will be that point as well. But at the same time, that's even more emphasis upon like continuing on with the stuff that you will want to play. If that means if you need to switch into another game or something and try to get back to the whole feeling of, oh, hey, this is kind of interesting. I want to kind of delve into this a little bit more. Let's see what I'm going to do next type of mentality, you know? I mean, or if it means, you know, taking a break a little bit earlier or something like that, getting some like water or something like that, maybe get a little bit of something to eat and stuff. I mean, you don't have to play games consistently for the entire
Yes. Yes.
24-hour stint. I mean, I think that's one of the major mistakes that people make is they think they got to do 24 hours straight of like playing these games and stuff and raising money and all that stuff. I mean, no, you don't have to do that. If you have to spend like about 30 minutes or something like that to have a lunch or something like that, or a dinner, or
Yeah.
like have like 15 minutes or something like that to yourself or something if you want to get some water or walk the dog or get like some sort of fresh air or something like that. I mean, hell, I've had to do that times as well to where throughout that 24-hour stuff, I've literally had to take like an hour or something like that so I can get some to eat and I have to complete like an errand stuff. Then I can come back and I can continue on doing the gaming stuff. And I'm still gaming throughout that entire stint, but like I'm keeping in the mind here that if I'm up 24 straight hours, I got to get some bits of stuff done to get my mind off of the stuff and then get returned back to doing it.
Yeah, that's a great point, Gables. Yeah, like take, you know, that's like people don't. I think some when I talk to people about this, they think like don't you go to the bathroom or like no, like I, you know, probably with a 24-hour day, like I probably really only play like 20, 21 hours, you know. But yeah,
Yeah.
you're gonna take a shower. You're gonna like yeah, like I said, like I'll, you know, it's getting chillier out, but it's still nice enough out like here in Iowa. Like I'm gonna take my dog for, I don't want to say it out loud, WALK. Yeah, like you want to do those things, you know, if you got some running you gotta do or whatever. Yeah, like do those things. Don't like feel like you have to play the whole 24 hours. Like my first couple of years, like I felt like I had to make up that time that I missed. Like I took like, you know, I went to I did something for 20 minutes. Like, well, I'm gonna, you know, add that 20 minutes to my time. Like, don't do that. Like, just it's hard enough as it is. You're doing a great thing. No one, I don't think, you know, no one, people, your friends, family, whoever, donate to coworkers, whoever donate to you, like, they're not gonna think any less of you because you took a shower or you went outside and went for a walk, you know, God forbid. Like, you know, this is hard. The day will be hard enough as it is. I promise you, you do not need to make it any more difficult for yourself. You know, and obviously, you know, it's, you're playing games for a long time. It's not, you're not exactly going to be burning a lot of calories, or it's not gonna be the healthiest day for you, even if you eat smarter. So, you know, it's good to get up and get outside and, you know, touch grass, you know, as the kids say. But yeah, like, do that. Like we kind of mentioned, you know, don't overcaffeinate, spread it out throughout the day. That's what I do. I try to, like, not do too much. I'll have, like I said, I'll have some coffee in the morning, like I do, but I have less than usual. Then I'll have a little bit maybe in, like, the afternoon. And then, like, I might do, like, I live next to a Starbucks. So maybe, like, in the evening, I'll go up, do a Starbucks run. And then, like, maybe, like, if I have to, like, later, I'll do, like, another small bit of coffee. One other thing, though, like, I do want to mention is, like, I totally lost my train of thought there. Where was I going? I had something. Oh, so Gables actually had this really great idea. He started doing this a few years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, I want to say. And I started doing it 2 years ago. Where, like, basically, like, him and I, you know, as soon as we get off work, basically, he started it, like, as soon as he got off work, he'd just go home, go right to sleep, and then get up at, like, around midnight, 2 o'clock his time. He's 2 hours behind me, and he'd get up, you know, he gets up midnight, 2 o'clock, and he would start his 24 hours then. So he'd get, like, you know, try to get, like, 5, 6, 7 hours of sleep, then start, and then do the whole 24 hours, and then when he goes to bed, it's, you know, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning his time. You know, sleep, you know, it's still going to be rough. It's going to take a couple of days to really, like, make, to like, recover from it. Especially, you know, as we're getting older now, we are like, you know, he's 35, I'm 34. You know, like, but it will help because, like, for, you know, the first, like, 9 years I did this, I was getting up. I would just wake up when I woke up and I would start at, like, you know, 7, 8, 9 o'clock. And, like, it's hard, especially because it's always daylight savings time this takes place on. So then, you're like, not only you got to go through that whole middle of the night process, which is just hard. Now, like, you know, the same thing, to go back an hour. So that's just hard. That's harder. And you got to watch the sun come up. It just makes it harder. So, like, Gables, like I was mentioning, like, he started this whole thing of, like, getting up soup, like, you know, just middle of the night, or, you know, like I said, midnight, between, like, midnight and two. And then you don't completely destroy your sleep schedule. So it makes it a little bit easier to recover from, you know, like, Gables and I, like, Gables took the whole week off work afterwards. I took the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday off from work afterwards. So, like, because, like, I'm going to tell you, Sunday is, well, if you do this whole 24 hours, Sunday is going to be lost to you. You will, it's just gone. Yeah, like, you'll be in and out of sleep. And even when you're awake, you're going to feel like a zombie. And then Monday is kind of like your recovery day. And then, like, I'd say, like, my Monday afternoon, if you take the day off of work, you'll be recovered. So I would say if you can at least get Monday off, or try to get Tuesday off as well if you can. You know, take, you know, that way you have, like, a day to recover, and then maybe you have that Tuesday to actually, like, enjoy it. You know, like, you're, like, you know, not say you're, like, not enjoying this whole process, but, like, you have Tuesday to, like, that could be, like, your Sunday kind of thing. So yeah, like, do all that. Do you have anything you want to add on the whole, like, you know, doing it starting earlier?
What I will say is, honestly, start with the times that you feel most comfortable with. For me, the reason why I started the aspect of playing from midnight to midnight on these extra life things is because I generally do a lot of work during the day anyway, and ruining the sleep schedule by, like, starting, like, say, like, 8 o'clock and, like, or something in the morning all the way to, like, 8 the next morning, your body gets out of sync fairly quickly. I mean, it's going to be out of sync anyway because you're literally up for the entirety of, like, the 24 hours. But to make it easier for your body and also for getting your rest done, you know, it's like from midnight to midnight made the most sense to me. And on top of that, that midnight to about noonish or something like that, that goes by super quick.
Yeah,
it really does, because there's a lot of silence. Not a lot of people are going through and stirring and stuff, or, like, well, for those that, like, are not nighttime people or something like that, if your house will be dead quiet or your place will be dead quiet or something like that, so actually focus upon stuff. I know for me personally, I'm going to try to see if I can stream some stuff, because I really want to get back into the aspect of like saving some different type of streams, just me like just playing certain things, you know, because I kind of like that idea of like having people keep me company while I'm trying to play certain games, because that way I can maybe like talk to them like off and on while I'm trying to get things done.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much what I could recommend people. Just do what feels most comfortable to you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like that first, like even like if you start earlier, or you start later, like you start like 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, that first like 8 to 12 hours really does feels like it flies by. And I've had a few years where I'm like, oh man, like I feel like, you know, like I haven't like really done anything. I haven't accomplished anything in like when I'm playing. But man, let me tell you, that second half, that last third, drags, or can drag. You know, try, you know, yeah, like don't like freak out too much yet, because like I said, that first chunk is gonna fly right by. But then you get down to those last like 6 hours, 4 hours, like you're just, and you're getting tired, more tired, and you just keep looking at that clock, and you're like, God damn. Is it ever gonna like? Am I ever gonna get? Is it ever gonna be 24 hours? You know, like, am I gonna make? If you start at midnight, it's like, you know, am I gonna make it to midnight? You know, yeah. So, yeah. And then like, I think the last but not least here is like, honestly, like, here's a fun tip for people is like, especially if you're gonna be a party chat. Sometimes playing story-driven games can be kind of rough. But like, a good way to really make the time fly by, I've always found, is like open-world games, like Ubisoft-style games, like. Are excellent for like these type of games are like, you got like, if you're someone that like plays life service games, you got like weeklies and dailies to do, save them for this, like those kind of games that can just like those time sync games. Like I play like I'm a huge Madden fan, so I play a lot I'll play like a decent chunk of Madden like every year. Like I'll play like 5, 6 hours, like I'll just play like, you know, play a game of Madden and go back to another game for a few hours, jump in, play a game of Madden, and it's just like, it's a great way to like, you know, it kind of breaks up, you know, everything else you're playing, but also like it'll help make that time fly by. So yeah, I recommend having a game like that where like whether it's like an open world game, or like a Ubisoft game, or just a game that requires a lot of grinding that you can, that, you know, you can like, you can easily just like lose 2, 3 hours in. Having a game like that is can be really, really good. I also find like, for some reason, like Uncharted games is like kind of like that kind of like comfort food type of thing. Like I remember like 1 year, like just playing a fuck ton of like the Uncharted Nathan Drake collection. I think that was like 2015, or I think something, whatever year it came out, on PS4. Like I spent like over half the day just playing the Uncharted games. Like it is just like, it's because I beat the games multiple times, so it's not like I need to pay attention, crazy too much attention to the story. So, but there's just like, to me, it's like comfort. Like the Gears game, same thing. Like I can just jump in and lose an hour or two and just have a good time. So if you have stuff like that, that's just like comfort food to you, stuff like that can be can mean a lot and really help out, especially in getting those later stages. So but yeah, I think that's really it for tips, unless you got something else you can think of, Gables.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah, I don't have any more.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into kind of what are our plans, Gables? What do you have on the docket for Extra Life this year?
Okay, so for the docket, besides starting the times I'm going to start and stuff, on the docket, I'm going to see if I can play a little bit more Tears of the Kingdom. That's going to be first and foremost and stuff. Probably more Super Mario Wonder as well, because I'm still kind of deep inside of that game. I'm like near the halfway point, I believe, inside of that game. But, other than that, though, I mean, it's just a continuation of the games that I haven't been able to catch up on for the span of the year. You know, like Final Fantasy 16, I mean, that's one of them. And also, like, Armored Core 6 is another one. Oof. Not to mention, like, the ones on the Xbox as well. You know, it's like Lies of P. I haven't had a chance to try that out. Had a chance to try out, like, oh my gosh, like, oh my gosh, what's Hi-Fi Rush? I need to play a little bit more of that if I can, stuff. Now when I'm looking over at my shelf over here and stuff, I'm really just looking at Resident Evil 4 remake and like Dead Space remake and stuff. It's basically a
You've got
who's
like 10
who.
Extra Lives of games here to play. Like,
Absolutely.
you
It's like a
basically.
who's who of games this past year that I've been too tired to go
Yeah.
and fucking
Gables,
finish.
you've got 10 days off. You can just do Extra Life for 10 straight days, and I don't know if you'll catch up. So.
Well, that's more representative of this year as a whole, where it's like the whole great games that I've released this year would literally last someone more than, like, say, 5 years to try to beat all of them.
You could do Tears of the Kingdom for 24 straight hours on Saturday Gables, and I still don't
And
think I'll beat that game. So,
no.
yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty incredible. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm kind of jealous, but also I'm happy I'm not you right now.
Could you just imagine me even tackling and beating a couple of them during Extra Life? I mean, oh,
I
Jesus.
mean, honestly, like, I would like if you're gonna focus on like one you might be able to finish, I would say like just play Dead Space or Resident Evil 4. I
Yeah.
feel like those would be like the great games because like Final Fantasy 16 and Tears of the Kingdom are like those are like 50-hour games right there. So
Oh, very easily. And you know
yeah.
what? What I'm thinking of is like, maybe I should try like a Ubisoft style of game or something like that. Maybe like Assassin's Creed. Not
No,
like
just play. No,
not like a
don't do. Don't
big.
do. No. Don't do that. No. Yourself. You have like 19 great games right there. You get to play
I
this
know,
year.
I know.
Just pick one of them. Focus on Tears of the Kingdom, or Resident Evil 4. Do not add Assassin's Creed to the list, okay? Jesus Christ.
And I really wasn't considered like the open world ones either. I was just thinking about more the streamlined ones. But even still, I
Yeah.
got a lot on my docket this
Yeah, you have plenty. You
year.
have plenty. So you'll have no issue with you'll just be overwhelmed by the options rather than lack of.
You
So
have a great point. Yes, that would be like
yeah.
more of an
Yeah.
option
You're
here.
gonna spend like 6 hours staring at the like the games you have to play. Like, I don't know what to play here. So it's like fuck. Yeah. But for me, I've been trying my best not to play Spider-Man 2 Gables and like save as much as I can. It's not going great. It's not going great. The game is really good. I don't know what to tell you. I'm like I'm because now I'm like I'm just gonna 100%. I'm just gonna platinum this game. It's gonna happen. I'm like I need to like save as much as I can. I'm like 2/3 of the way through the story. I've done 60% of the open world. So I'm like, well, that's just kind of my like, what do I have left? For on Extra Life, luckily, like I'm gonna probably play a little bit more tomorrow, and then football's gonna be. I'm gonna watch football from noon till I go to bed, so I won't play much tomorrow. And then I gotta work all week, so I probably won't play any until Extra Life. So, that'll probably be my docket. That'll probably be a good chunk of my day is just getting the platinum in that probably. I figured, that'll probably take up probably a third of my day right there, give or take. I do have Alan Wake 2 on the docket. I don't know if I'll get around to that one. I might save that for like, I do have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off. That might be the game I play during that. Because that's like I talk about a story-driven game. That's a game I'm gonna want to like, especially Remedy games. It's a game you want to focus on completely and want to be in the right mind space for. And that could be a tough game, tough ask in the fog of war of Extra Life. I do have Super Mario Wonder. I'm like. Mostly done with World 2, but yeah, still, I mean, I have a ways to go in that game, so that's gonna be another game I'm gonna want to play. I'm gonna probably want to. Spider-Man and Mario Wonder are probably my two main focuses for Extra Life. I did find Assassin's Creed Mirage for $20, so I have that. I ordered that online, that's coming. I should hopefully get that before Extra Life, and then that could be like that's gonna be a game I have in there. Madden, obviously, is another game I'm gonna play a bunch of. Throughout the day, so those are probably like my main four. I do have games like downloaded. I have like Gears 4 I have in there. Like it's a game I've slowly been going through and like a replay of the last like year or so. I'll
Yeah.
jump in like give me like I talk about like that's just like that's comfort food for me. I'm with the game. I love those games. Jump in and play those. I have like Uncharted Lost Legacy there that I want to do the PS5 remasters last year. That's a I beat I finished I beat Resident Uncharted 4 again. Last year, I want to replay Lost Legacy. AEW Fight Forever is downloaded. Maybe you and I, Gables,
Yes.
can jump in and play a couple games online together.
Well, absolutely. I need to re-up my online stuff because fucking $80 that shit, dude.
Maybe just get like just buy a month or something. It's like $10 or whatever.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And then yeah, I think that's really it. Kind of honestly is like yeah. I mean, there might be some shit that tickles my fancy throughout the day. I might jump into, but. That's kind of my main focus. I feel like those will take up a good chunk of my day. So, if not all of my day. So, yeah. So that's kind of my plans for Extra Life. So it should be a good day. Plenty of new stuff to play. It's kind of perfect because I'm like kind of buried in games. Like, you know, I've got like, you know, three, four games now that are like, you know, new releases that I want to play through. And yeah, so I want to focus on those, and try to get through those. And you know, this is also gonna work out great because it'll be a point for, it'll be a good way for me to catch up on all these games, especially you know, there's a couple of big games coming in November as well. So yeah, that's kind of my plan. I don't give us it. Do we want to do what we've been playing this week? Because I pretty much talked about it. It's just been more Spider-Man 2 and Mario Wonder. They're both fantastic.
You know, so. Because we're probably going to be saying more what we're going to be playing like after Extra Life next week, you know, probably like on the next Sunday as we're recording possibly. I think maybe we should skip it for this week because you've already mentioned that. I've already mentioned I'm already like halfway through Mario Wonder. I don't want to say too much more because I may spoil a little bit more aspects for you. Okay. But yeah, I haven't really played anything too much either.
Yeah, yeah. It's just kind of like now I'm just in that, we're both in that waiting for Extra Life kind of period right now. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's a good point, Gables. Thanks for reminding me. Next week, the podcast, like typically we record Saturday night. Podcast goes up Sunday morning on YouTube and podcast apps. Next week, because of Extra Life, we'll be recording on Sunday night. The podcast will go on Monday because, yeah, it's we tried in the past of doing it on Friday night or earlier in the week. And it's just hard, especially.
It's very hard.
Yeah, especially you know doing it on Friday night before Extra Life is always hard because requires us to be up a little later, and I'm 2 hours ahead of Gables, so I'm up even later. It just makes it a lot harder. So, yeah, we're going to just, it's just easier for us, and we're both off Monday. So it makes it easier for us to just record Sunday, and you can hear us in all of our tired glory, and we'll talk about, you know, kind of how our day went. So, should be it'll be a fun podcast, and a time capsule to go back to and, listen to, you know, 3 years from now and just hear where we were mentally and physically on that day next week. So yeah, but yeah, I think that's gonna wrap it up for us this week, guys. Thank you guys so much for watching, listening. Please check us out. All the socials are there. Podcast apps are there. YouTube, Drunk Dash Nerds, Drunk Nerds Podcast, whatever it is, you'll find us. Please 5-star reviews, shares, thumbs ups, subscribes, whatever you can do. We really would appreciate it if you did that for us. But I was host, I was Tyler,
and I've been Colonel Gables. Until next time, everyone. Thank you for listening to another fun-filled episode of the Drunk Dash Nerds podcast.
And hey, Gibbles.
Yeah.
Hashtag for the kids.
Hashtag for the kids, man.
Bye, guys.
See ya.